Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Amabez Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Two lines from the Banav Ishus Imai. The Mishnah taught us that a son is the Yairish of his mother. Ask the Rambam Nani Mili, from where do we notice Halacha? So as the Rajban points out, the Mishnah, the Gemara is assuming that certainly a son comes before a daughter when it comes to the Yerusha of his mother. Because the Mishnah says, Ish v'isha as imam, clearly indicating that the son comes before the daughter. But the Gemara's question is from where do we know that the son comes before the daughter? Because the Pasuk says, Ki ish ki yamasu ben ein lo, if somebody passes away without a son, v'vatimus nachlisai lebitai, that Pasuk is speaking about the father who passed away. And that pasuk is teaching us that when the father, Rachman al-Islam, passes away, his son is his first Yairish. But now the Gemara wants to know, how do we know that the son is also the primary first Yairish when the mother dies? And as the Rivam, Tosfos quotes, the Rivam explains, there is no question that if a woman dies, that her relatives are her Yarshim. Why should it be any different when a woman dies than when a man dies, that the relatives should be the inheritors? The Gemara's question is that maybe when it comes to a mother, a daughter comes first. Says the Gemara, the Tanur Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, "V'kol bas yireshes nachlam mimatos b'nei Yisrael." So the Torah uses the word mimatos. Ask the Gemara. So the Torah says the word matos. So the Torah is teaching us that the daughter yarshin sometimes from two different shvatim. How is that possible? It says the Gemara, "Heich bas yireshesh b'shnei matos." Where is there a circumstance that a daughter yarshins from two different shvatim? It says the Gemara, "The elzu shavim m'shevet echad." The mother, the father's from one shevet. Vimay m'shevet acher. And the mothers from a different shevet. And as we're going to be learning quite extensively in our shiurim, the Torah, especially for that generation that was dividing at Yisrael, did not want women to marry outside of their shevet. Because the concern was that if the woman will marry outside of a shevet and then she'll pass away, her husband or her sons will be her yarshim. And they are, when it comes to Shvatim, we follow the father, not the mother. So that's why in that generation, as we've learned and will learn, the Torah wanted that the mother, the woman should marry someone from the same Shevet. However, if there's a woman who has brothers, so she is not expected to be the Yairish because she, Baruch Hashem, has brothers. Such a woman may marry somebody who is not from her shevet. And then, before her father passes away, her brother passed away without any children. So now she became the Yairish. And therefore, she now finds herself in a situation, she finds herself in such a situation, she has a Yerusha from her father that's a different shevet than her husband and her son. El Azusha Vim Shevet Echad, her father's from one Shevet, Vimam Shevet Acher, or Mesa Yerush, and then they pass away and she is their Yerush. Vainly Elabasa, we only know from this Pasuk that the daughter gets the Yerusha of her parents. Ben Menayin, how do we know that this halacha will be by a son as well? Amrit. Amrit Kavachimer, so says the Gemara, we're going to make the following Kavachimer. O Mabas, Shehura Koicha Benechsi Av. As we discussed in our previous shiurim, a daughter does not get a Yerusha when her father passes away if there are sons. The Torah is giving her some Yerusha from her mother's estate. Ben, so certainly a son, who has this primary position that when his father passes away, he is the one that gets the Yerusha. So certainly he should get the Yerusha when the mother passes away. says the Gemara Makom Shabasa, and continues the Gemara from, since we're learning these halachas from the halacha of a son who is Yairish's father, Malahalan, just like when a son is Yairish's father, Ben Kainal Bas, the son comes first, Afken Ben Kainal Bas, the son comes before the daughter. So that's how we got to the result, A, that the son yashins his mother, and not only that does the son yashin the mother, but he comes before comes before the daughter. Says Gemara, Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar ben Yosef, I'm Moshe Rabbi Zechariah ben Ktzav, Echad ben v'Echad Abbas, Shoven ben Nechseim. They suggest that the son and the daughter are equivalent. Why? Because how do we know that the son is getting a Yerusha? As we're learning it, from the halacha of the daughter. And the Gemara teaches us a rule. If we're learning something from a source, we learn it, it can't be stronger than the source. And if the source that a son yashins a mother, we learn from the fact that the daughter yashins the mother, we can't have him be stronger than the daughter and have that the son comes and yashins everything before the daughter. Says the Gemara of a Tanakama. And what about the Tanakama, who does say that the son does come first? He says that, says the Gemara, Loi Darish Daya does not subscribe to the concept of Daya. So the Miri explains that the way to understand the Gemara is that first we learn the son from the daughter, and then the Kal V'Chaymer expands the power of the son. Ask the Gemara, and ask the Gemara, how could that be that the Tanakhama doesn't subscribe to Dayoi? For Dayoi, the Raisihi. Ask the Gemara, the concept of Dayoi is a concept of Raisa, the Tanya. The Torah, when it speaks about, we say the Brice of Yishmael, that one of the ways that the Torah is expounded is with Kal V'Chaymer. Then Kal V'Chaymer Ketzad, where do we find the Kal V'Chaymer in the Torah? Says the Pasuk, that when Miriam became a Mitzras, and Moshe Rabbeinu davened on her behalf, and the Pasuk then says, V'yom HaShem al Moshe v'aviyu yorg b'fanel, halo sikolem shim b'syomim, that if her father would have gotten upset at her, she would be in Cherim for 7 days. Kal V'Chaymer, so certainly, in this case, where she spoke against the Shechina, Moshe Rabbeinu had separated himself from his wife Tzipira based on the directive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told, so when she was saying that, so to speak, the wrong thing was done by her separating, the Moshe separating for Tzipira, she should have been in Cherim for 14 days. Ella Dayalav Menadin Lias Kanidon, because we have the concept of Dayoi, so it's only, it says, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm limiting it to 7 days. So, of course, all the Rishonim asked the question, we're saying that if she said something against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it should be double, should be 14, not just the 7. So where does the number 14 double come from? So the Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos says that the Gemara Masechet in Nida teaches us that Shlosh Shutfim Ba'adam, the three partners in the creation of every human being, Ava V'Imai, his father, his mother, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara goes on to explain, the father contributes 5 things, the mother contributes 5 things, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributes 10 things. So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributes more than the father, so if when the father gets upset with her, she is in Cherim for 7 days, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributes to our creation double, he should be double to 14 days. Others suggest that the number 7 represents a Mitzayra. A Mitzayra is quarantined for 7 days, and here that where it's somebody who's speaking kaviyochel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it should be a much stronger punishment. And since punishments are always measured in the number of 7, so then this should have to be double, which would be 14. The Pnei Yeshua says that the Pasuk says that the way to understand that there is no really basis for 14 days. The Pnei Yeshua says, the Pasuk says that Haloi Sikolim Shevas Yomim. Why did the Torah have to say Haloi Sikolim Shevas Yomim? We could just have said a Kal V'chomer, that if a father gets upset, she's going to be separated, she's going to be in Cherim for 7 days. The Kal V'chomer should say the same as Kal V'yochel if she gets HaKadosh Baruch Hu upset at her. Why did the Torah have to add all these words? So says the Pnei Yeshua, not to teach us how many days maybe she should have been, but rather the Pasuk is here, says the Pnei Yeshua, teaching us a rule in Kal V'chomers, that whenever we have a Kal V'chomer, we use the Kal V'chomer that whatever is the source, that should be here. So now we're back to our question. So how could the Tanakhama suggest that if we're learning that a son yashins a mother from a daughter, not only should we learn that a yashins the mother from the daughter, but he goes to Shekhem before, like by a father? Answers the Gemara. Ba'alma, certainly, under normal circumstances, the way to understand the Kal V'chomer is Dorish Dayo with the limitation of a Dayo. However, B'shani Hocha, over here the Pasuk says, D'Omer Krav V'cho Bas Yireshes Nachumim Matas B'nei Yisrael. Makish, the Torah, by using the Lashon Rabbi Matos, which speaks about the Mato Av and the Mato Aim, Makish Mato Av, Mato Aim, Mato Av. Ma Mato Av, as we've been learning in our Shiurim, the halacha is ben koidim labas, av mato aim ben koidim labas. There is a discussion amongst the Rishonim. How to understand this Gemara? Does the Gemara mean that we're just learning it from the word matos, or is the Gemara also still relying on a Kal V'chomer? Says the Gemara in Natai, Sovlam Evad Uvdo, Krib Zacharya ben Ktzav. He wanted a paskin like Krib Zacharya ben Ktzav and give a son and a daughter equal shares in the Yerusha of a mother. Amle Shmuel. So Shmuel said, come on, whose opinion do you want to follow? Like Zacharia? Offer Zacharia, his opinion is not correct. We don't paskin like Reb Zacharia ben Ktzav, and that indeed is the halacha. The halacha is that the son yarshins a mother, but not only does the son yarshin the mother, but as all the Achroinim explain, the Gzeri Shavah that the Gemara just used of Matos is considered a most acceptable Gzeri Shavah, and that's why by a mother a son comes before a daughter as well. Says the Gemara, Rav Tavla Ovid of the Krib Zachariah Ben Ktzav. Rav Tavla once paskin like Rav Zachariah Ben Ktzav. Amalei Rav Nachman Mayhai, Rav Nachman asked him, what brought you to do so? Amalei Damar Rav Chanina Bashami, Mishmeid Rav Aloch Krib Zachariah Ben Ktzav. Because he taught us that the Lachos of Zechariah ben Ktzav. Amalei, so Rav Nachman told Rav Tavla, Zil Hadabach, retract from your psak, V'iloi, because if you will not, Mefkin Alach Rav Chinah Bashami Me'unech, you're going to be put into Cherim, and Rav Chanina Bashamia will not be able to help you. Because when you go against the Halacha, there's nobody that could help you. Rav Huna Bachia, Savel Mevet Uvda. Rav Huna Ben Uvda also wanted a paskin like Rav Zachariah Ben Ktzav. Amalei, Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said to him as well, my high, why are you doing so? Amalei, because he says, the Amar Rav Huna, because Rav Huna Amar Rav told us, Allah Rav Zachariah Ben Ktzav. Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna Bachia, Eshlechlei, I'm going to send Rav Huna a message that this is what you're reporting in his name, says the Gemara Ichsef. So Rav Huna Bachia became embarrassed, and because of his embarrassment, he retracted and agreed with Rav Nachman that the halacha was not like Rav Zachariah ben Ktzav, because So the Rashbam explains, because Rav Chunin bar Achiya wasn't really 100% certain that that was what Rav Nachman had said. And because he wasn't 100%, Rav Huna had said, because he wasn't certain, that's why he got nervous. Another pshat that I saw is that he never really heard that Rav Huna said it. He just told everybody that Rav Huna, that the second pshat is that he never heard Rav Huna say it explicitly. He only heard Rav Huna speak in that and positively about Rav Zechariah ben Ketzav's opinion, and that's why he was certain Rav Zechariah ben Ketzav, he held Rav Zechariah ben Ketzav. But now he was questioning, is that really what Rav Huna held? A third pshat is that actually he never heard Rav Huna say it. But what happened was that Rav Huna bar Achiya wanted everybody to accept his psak. And because he wanted everybody to accept his psak, he said to everybody, you know why my psak is correct? Because my psak is correct because it was said by Rav Huna. And everybody heard that what I'm saying, it concurs with Rav Huna said. That's why they believe that his psak was right. And of course, the question is, are you allowed to? The Gemara teaches us in Masechta Brachos Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Kol Oy Medavar Shloishamim Pi Rabbi. If you say something attributing it incorrectly, maybe Peronis Loilam, it brings punishment to the world. So the question is, how could he done something like this if it was incorrect? So the Magen Avraham says that if somebody is convinced that what he's saying is correct, but he wants everybody to accept what he says. And because he wants everybody to accept what he says in the name of somebody, even though that person never said it, it's permissible. But, says the Machzor Shekel, that it only is in a case where you're 100% comfortable with your psak. So the Eliyahu further qualifies that you're not allowed to quote somebody else, unless you are an individual that people accept your psak. But if you're an individual that people do not accept your psak, and just quoting others that they should accept your psak is incorrect. Another point that Eli Rabba makes, it has to be that you have to really be convinced that you're right. If you only think that you're right because you heard it from other people, then you can't do this. Another point, he says, is that it should not be a circumstance where it's just based on your thinking. It also has to be, says the Eli Rabba, a situation that you did hear this from other people. It might not have been, the people you heard it from might not have been as great as the person you're quoting, but it's not something that you're saying completely on your own. View, says the Gemara of Nachman, Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna bar Achiya, Hashta, if not for the fact that I stopped you, Kinach Nafshid Rav Huna, if Rav Huna would have passed away before we could really check what he said, Esrasis Lakabli, you would have never retracted. Only because Rav Huna was still alive, and as we gave the various pshatim, that got you to be concerned, are you saying something that's correct? That's why you backed off. But if Rav Huna wasn't alive, you wouldn't have backed off, and you would have held your ground that the halacha is like Rav Huna, even though Rav Huna never said so. So says the Gemara Iyu, we keep on finding in our sugya, Rav Nachman doesn't want to have the boys and girls share the Yerusha of the mother, because Kamat Savra, whose opinion does he hold? Says the Gemara, whose does he hold like? That's not the halacha. Says the Gemara, Mestama for also Rav Yanai Kasa, the Rav Simloi Shammai. Rav Yanai was leaning, he was an older man, and he was leaning on Rav Simloi, who was assistant. Vos Rav Yehuda Nasiu Lapayu, and Rav Yehuda Nasi was coming towards them. Amalei, so Rav Simloi says to Rav Yanai, by Inish the Osla Kablinu, the person that's coming towards us, who Yoi, he's a great person, and he's wearing the garment of a great person. And the Ben Yoyada explains that even though Yehuda Nasi, as we know, was ultimately the Nasi, he didn't, at this point, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was not yet the Nasi. Says the Gemara, Kimat al Gabei, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi approached them, Goshesha. So Rabbi Yanai felt the garment that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was wearing, V'omalei, and he said to his assistant, Rabbi Simloi, Dein Shurei Kesak. We know there are different, we know that begodim, clothing, can be makabel tuma. But the shear of their Kabbalah's tuma depends on the quality of the garment. Sack is always considered the most inferior type of material. And therefore, since it's an inferior type of a material, that's why it's the shear, the amount that you have to have of that garment is a larger garment. So he said that this garment that you said that he's wearing, which is so nice, the Rashbam says, because Talmidei Chachamim used to wear a certain type of garment. The Rashbam gives another pshat. It was just, he said he's wearing a nice suit, a quality suit. But the Miri has a different approach to this whole Gemara. The Miri's approach to the Gemara was that what he was saying, what Simloi was saying, was actually sarcastic. He was saying he was wearing a poor quality garment. And actually, when Rabbi Yanai felt the garment, it corroborated that it was a very poor quality. Barminei. And now he asked Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So now Rabbi Yehuda Nasi asks Rabbi Yanai the shaila that we've been discussing. How do we know the sons come before the daughters? When we speak about the Yerusha of a mother. Amalei Diksiv, the pasuk that we learned, Matois. And from there we learn Makish Mato Aim Lamata Av. Ma Mato Av Ben Kodin Labas. Av Mato Aim Ben Kodin Labas. Amalei. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi asks Rabbi Yanai, if that's the case, we know that Allah is that a Bechor gets a double share in the Yerusha of his father. Should we say, Af Mato Ein Bechor Noitel Pnei Shnayim? Should that be the Allah here as well? Amalei, so Rabbi Yanai said to Lashamai, to Rabbi Shmuloi, good, less than Tzvi Lamelev, take me away from here. This person doesn't want to learn. This person just wants to ask question. So it seems that Rabbi Yanai's attitude towards Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was that his questions are just to start up with me. From where was that evident? So he asked a fair question. So Ben Yehuda says that he asked Rabbi Yehuda Nasi asked the question immediately after Rabbi Yanai gave him an answer. So Rabbi Yanai took that, I saw two different ways of understanding this. Why don't you first absorb what I said? And after you absorb what I absorb what I say, and then you have a question, so then I'll be happy to answer your question. What I see over here is that you immediately asked the question and didn't even have a chance to think about what I said. That, to me, he said, is unacceptable. Another pshat that I saw in understanding is that the fact that he asked the question, so quickly, that's a proof that he had this question prepared from before. The person who has the question prepared from before indicates that that's not, he's not asking the question in a sincere fashion. The Chafetz Chaim in Hilchos Lashon Hara, Klal Dalet Ois Beis writes, if this is something that not many people are careful about, and therefore it's not so embarrassing, to say somebody doesn't know how to learn, still, one should be careful not to say that. So the Sefer Ben Maim Chaim over there asks, that how could the Chafetz Chaim say that such a statement is unacceptable? In our Gemara, we see that Rabbi Yanai made such a statement. So he quotes, and we've quoted this previously in our Shurim, He quotes the opinion of the Chavasyar, who says that even though, of course, one has to be very careful how he speaks and what he says, but a Rebbe who's speaking in a sharp way, because that's the way he's going to give Musar to his Talmud, to put his Talmud on the right track, that's acceptable. So says the Chafetz Chaim, the reason he said this is that because he felt that it was his obligation to speak to Rebbe Yehuda Anossi in this way to make sure Rebbe Yehuda Anossi learns how one should ask a question. Says the Gemara, "V'tamamai." So what is the reason that a Bechor does not get Pishnayim in the Yerusha of a mother? Says the Gemara, "Amabaya, Amakra." B'chol Hashimotzaloi. The halacha that the son gets double is only loy by a father, v'loy lo, not by a mother. Ask the Gemara, "Animili." Maybe when would halacha be say this? When is this halacha said by Bechor Shenos Almana? A person who never had children, and now he married a woman who already had children. So even though it's not her first son, it's his first son. Aval Baruch Hashanos B'sula. If a man and woman get married and they had Baruch Hashem a child, and this is the first to both for both of them, Hachinami Neshakul. Maybe the halacha is that indeed that he should get a double share even in his mother's Yerusha. Answers the Gemara. Am Rav Nachman Yitzchak Am Akra. The pasuk says, "Ki hu reishis oinai loy mishpat b'chayrei." From here we learn he says oinai that the halacha of b'chayrei is dependent on whoever he is, the b'char from of the father, and v'loy oinai and not from the mother. There is a discussion here too if the way to learn the Gemara is Ella, and this is a retraction, or this is just a continuation of the previous pshat. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, "Homi b'alei, isn't that pasuk needed to teach us the ba acha nefalim, that the halacha is rachman al tzlan? If somebody had a child that's a nefil, that the firstborn after that nefil is still a bechor. That means, as far as hilchas bechor for pidyon aben, where the Torah writes the words peter rechem, the first that comes out of the mother's womb, so that only the first child that emanates from the mother's womb is a bechor. And if that child that came out didn't make it, and then there's the next child, that next child would not be a bechor. Of course, with certain limitation. But habar ach nefalim, but let's say the first child, Rechmon son, was a nefil, the child born after him is going to be b'chol nachla. Because, why? Because the pasuk says, oinai, and the pasuk saying, mi shali b'davar lov, yot zesh ain b'davar lov. It has to be a child that survives. The child that didn't survive and never really grew, there's no real grieving over. So that's what we need this pasuk for. Not to tell us that the halacha b'chayra asked the Gemara is only by the father, not the mother. Answers the Gemara, imkein lemakra, ki hu reishis oin, my oinoi. If that was all that the Torah was coming to tell us, how do we identify who is a bechor for Yerusha? We could have learned that from the word oin. Why did the Torah say oinoi shmaminatati? One, there's that the bechor doesn't get double portion in the mother's estate. And the number two is that the son that's born first after the Peter Rechem, but if the Peter Rechem didn't survive, the first surviving son is the one that's going to get the Bechayra. Vakati e mahani mili alman shenasa b'sula. Maybe we're going to say that this is only where the father had children and now married a woman who never had children. But again, to our question, when you have both parents, Bach shenasa b'sula, a man never had children, a woman never had children, and now they, Baruch Hashem, have a son. Maybe that son gets the Bechayra, both from the father and from the mother. Hachi nami d'shakal, alam rav amakra loy mishpat Bechayra, mishpat Bechayra l'ish, the halacha of Bechayra only applies at the estate of a man, of the father, the loy mishpat Bechayra b'isha, that there is no mishpat Bechayra by a wife. And here, the Rashbam and Tosfos all say that the Gemara says Ella, and the elul should be taught, and this is going away from everything that we learned till now. So the Mishnah Bechairis, when we discuss who is a nafil, we need to know who is a nafil, that the child born after the nafil could still be considered a bechor to get a double shir Yerusha. The Mishnah Masechta Bechairis, that Mem Vavam and Aleph, differentiates between a full-term birth and a premature birth. And the Mishnah says, if the fetus was full-term, it's not considered a nafil unless it was, when it came out from the womb, it wasn't alive. But if the baby was breathing, it's considered a live birth, even if it died shortly after birth. On the other hand, if the birth was premature, before coming to full term, then it's considered a stillborn, even if it was breathing as it exited the womb. The Tshuva Sheres Yosef says that this halacha is speaking where it was breathing when the head came out, and it died before the entire body came out of the womb. But says the Sheres Yosef that if there was a complete live birth, no matter at what state of the pregnancy it happened, that baby will no longer be considered a nafil, even if it was born prematurely, and even if it died shortly after the birth. The Sma disagrees and says that a premature baby that dies shortly after its birth is considered a nafil, even though it was born breathing, since the fact that it was born prematurely and the fact that it died so shortly after it died, it's a proof that it was never destined to live long, and therefore he says it's considered a nafil, and the baby born afterward would be considered a bechor to get pishnayim. The Taz qualifies the psak of the Sma and says that a premature baby who dies shortly after its live birth is considered a nafil only if it was malformed and exhibited unhealthy signs of birth. However, says the Taz, if we ever have a situation that a baby was born and at the moment of birth it appeared healthy, even though it was born prematurely, and even though unfortunately it did not live very long after it was born, still the baby that's born after him will not be considered, the baby born after him will not be considered a bechor for Hilchus, will not be considered Bechor for getting Pishnayim. We learned in the Mishnah, Vishas Ishtay, a husband is the Yerush of a wife. Ask the Gemara Nanimili, from where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, the Tana Bonin. The Pasuk, when it speaks about the Hilchus Yerusha, says, when the Satan is Nachlosa L'Sheiroi, says, Gemara Sheiru Ishtay. Sheiru means a wife. Malamed, from here we learn, Shabbat Yerush Ishtay. The husband is the Yerush of the wife, and he precedes anybody else. As the Rashbam points out, that it precedes even a son. And the way Tosfos explains what this means is that when we speak, till now when we were speaking about Hilchos Yerusha, the focus has primarily been who is considered the closest relative. The husband who yarshins a wife is not yarshining the wife because he's the closest relative. It's not a question of relation. Rather, Tosfos explains that Sheiroi, Ishtei Kegufoi, the husband and wife are considered one. And if the husband is considered one with the wife, that's why he is not a Yerush. He's even more than a Yerush. Yochel Afi Tereshenu. So now the Gemara's question is Geshmak. So we'd say maybe it goes the other way as well, that the wife yarshins the husband, tamlem v'yarish oisai, hu yarish oisai, the husband yarshins the wife, v'ein hi yarishis oisai, but not the wife yarshining him. Says the Gemara, v'hakra lav hachiksivi. That's not what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, v'nesatim es nachlosai l'sheiroi. Isn't the Pasuk saying to give the Yerusha to the wife? That, and how are we saying just the opposite? Amr Abai Tritz Natam is Nachlos Lakarav Elov She'eroi Nisatak Nachlos Lakarav Elov Kama. You give the Yerusha to closest relative. But She'eroi, if the one that passes away is a wife, then v'yerush oisa, the husband yashin oisai. So ask the Gemara, what you've done is surgery to the pasuk. So ask the Gemara, Amar Rabba Sakina Harifa b'afsik kroy, could you do this kind of surgery to a pasuk? El Amar Rav Hachkamer. The way to understand the pasuk says v'nasatim es nachlas sheirei loy, give the Yerusha of his wife loy to him. So what we're doing here is kasava goyer v'masifim v'darshim. So what we're doing is we take off the word, the letter Vav from Nachlasoi, and we take off the letter Lamed from Sheiroi, and we put it, we have a new, and we take those two letters, the Lamed and the Vav, and have a new pas, a new word in the Pasuk, Loi, that we give it to Loi, to, we give it to him. And that's why the halacha is the husband yashins the wife. So the obvious question that all the Rishonim ask is when the Gemara put a comma into the Pasuk, the Gemara immediately asked that who gives us the right to do surgery on a Pasuk? And now what we're doing is we're creating a new word in the Pasuk. And creating a new word in the Pasuk is better than making a surgery, says the Rashbam. It's better that, he says the Rashbam, this approach in the Gemara, says the Rashbam, is not really making a surgery in the Pasuk, it's not really modifying the Pasuk. He's saying that's the way to understand a Pasuk. Another pshat that the Rashbam says, moving letters is not as serious as moving words. And therefore the previous pshat moved words. This pshat only moved letters. And I saw most Rishonim say that we are not to understand this Gemara as Goyrin and Mesifin, that we're actually making a significant change in the Pasuk, but rather we're learning the Pasuk this way. Says the Gemara v'haytana, Rabbi Shmuel, says the Gemara, Maisle Mahocha. He learns the halacha that a husband yashins a wife. The Pasuk says, the Tanya v'yarish oisai, so Malam Shabbat yarish es ishtoi, Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ein Tzarech. Rabbi Shmuel says that we don't have to have that pasuk, but the Gemara, as Mitzvah Shem, as we will learn in our coming shir, has a whole series of psukim, says Rabbi Shmuel, to show us how we know that a husband is the yorish of a wife.